This is all some kind of whacked out conspiracy.
Catapults of propaganda. The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us. A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. The Red Pill. The Military Industrial Complex.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our bunker, everybody. Of course, people on AOL may have a tough time getting us.
If you're on AOL, you're not hearing us right now. We are persona non grata. We've been declared enemies of the ISP.
I guess. I posted the story to Watcher News, but we have a number of people, maybe half a dozen, on our Watcher headlines list who have AOL addresses. I receive at least one a day from a listener that comes from AOL. Today's the first day I've had a problem. Every address that had AOL in it was bouncing back to me today.
Yes.
With the error code that essentially says, we are spammers.
That's right. We've been declared.
We've been declared dangerous.
Mm-hmm. We've been declared spam. Perhaps on rye.
I like spam, actually. In a pinch.
It is
grilled spam is okay, but being grilled as a spammer
is painful. It is painful. It's May the 24th of 2006, and so if you're on AOL and you're wondering why the Watcher News headlines update that comes through at about 10 o'clock Central Time, UTC minus 5 every day, didn't arrive in your mailbox today, now you know why. AOL.
It may have, because none of those bounced back this morning. It was this afternoon that the problem started.
Oh, okay.
So you may have gotten it this morning. If you have any trouble, please let us know. But you need to give us a reply to address that is not AOL, because right now, even the postmaster at AOL, I tried to write and explain what was going on. Even that bounced back.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. If you need additional information, please contact us. And then they give you an email address, which, of course, when you send mail to, bounces back because the IP has been banned. So, it makes us wonder, is it that we've been designated as spammers or has somebody complained to AOL about the content that we're putting out?
I don't know. I know that that has happened to others in the past, that you say something that for whatever reason catches someone the wrong way. Well, I don't like that. I'm going to report that.
Yeah. So that is a interesting development as we look at this Wednesday evening. Another interesting development reported by Alex Jones at his PrisonPlanet.com website, and it really sent Steve Quayle off on a rant tonight, was an initiative by FEMA, apparently, which is interesting because we thought FEMA was going to be disbanded. But FEMA is apparently contacting pastors around the country and training them at these workshops to work in cooperation, in conjunction with FEMA in the event of a national emergency. The idea is that pastors, as leaders of their flock, have some influence over people that they might be able to exercise during a time of crisis. As we saw after 9/11, people will often turn to church when something really drastic happens. Church attendance went way up in the days and weeks after 9/11.
Well, and understandably, it is a good way to disseminate information like there's a shelter here, food is here, you can go here to get cards and insurance here. That's a really good way because people are likely to go to their place of worship.
Right.
However, it seems to go deeper than that.
Yeah, according to Alex Jones and Paul Joseph Watson, who wrote the article, in March of this year, the pastor who contacted them, whose name they have withheld, was invited to attend a meeting of his local FEMA chapter. And it was ostensibly a workshop on what pastors should do, what their responsibilities should be in the event of a national crisis. They were told by the FEMA directors there that it was their job to help implement FEMA and Homeland Security directives.
Wait a minute. Where's that separation of church and state?
I guess it only applies when it's inconvenient.
It's a one-way street is what it is.
Yes. The apparently the chapter and verse of the Bible that was used in this meeting with the pastors was taken from Romans 13, which is the verse often used to justify supporting the state at all costs. It's, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and then some.
Yes, but the church congregation doesn't belong to Caesar.
No, that is absolutely true. Now, we are commanded in the Bible in Romans 13 and also in, I believe it's 1 Peter. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry that I should know this, but that Christians are to follow the laws mm-hmm. of government because mm-hmm. there is no earthly authority that has not been ordained and established by God.
And you and I have taught Nicole that.
Yes.
You drive the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you may disagree with that limit, you drive the
right.
speed limit.
Incidentally, if you drive with an ichthys on the back of your car, and
the little fish symbol.
Yeah, there are a lot of Christians who do that. Just think about the kind of witness that you're giving, the testimony that you're giving when you drive past everybody in the left lane at 75 miles an hour.
when you get pulled over and you've got
one. Right. That's happened to me a couple of times. I'm usually driving speed limit 5 over at the most. And every now and then you'll see a car with a fish symbol on the back driving past 80 miles an hour. And it just...
Well, we digress.
Yeah, we digress. So anyway, but that apparently is the is an initiative. FEMA is instructing pastors that it is their duty to tell their citizens to comply with FEMA and any Homeland Security directives during a time of crisis. And it's not too difficult to imagine how that might be taken out of context and taken to an extreme.
It depends on what the directive is.
It depends on what
that's what it comes down to. Christians are not to obey any law that contradicts God's law.
Yeah. This pastor said that this plan, as it was outlined to him in this meeting, was... included contingency plans for mass vaccinations and enforced drugging programs in the event of an outbreak of some sort, such as avian flu. In fact, he was told, according to Jones, that Walmart has already been designated as a central outlet for this mass vaccination and drugging procedure in the event that bird flu does break out on a wide scale. So
Wait a minute. I'm connecting a dot here.
Okay.
Could that be why Walmart has stopped selling rifles?
Well, not all Walmarts have, though. Only some.
Only those in Bubba areas?
I don't know that.
Let's face it. If you go in and you're being forced to take a vaccination and there's a rifle to your right behind the counter.
Yeah. Is it going to be a temptation? Well, it might be. And it is a fact that some, Walmarts have stopped selling firearms. And story was that they were in stores where they weren't doing much business. So
yeah, that was the story.
So anyway, we'll put a link to the article. You can read it and determine whether or not this is something to be concerned about. As long as we're speaking of churches, I just wanted to touch on something very briefly. The World Council of Churches has issued a statement blaming Israel for the problems in the Middle East. That's, I guess, not a real surprise. The World Council of Churches has always been sort of a left liberal organization.
Mm-hmm. When I was originally studying prophecy back in the Neolithic age, we were taught that the World Council of Churches was the beginning of the harlot.
The scarlet woman that mm-hmm. rides on the beast in Revelation 13?
Yeah, I think it is
12 or 13. Okay.
It's in there somewhere. I can't remember the exact address, so to speak. But that we were taught that was the beginning of that because it was a worldwide religion. Now, I'm not saying that's true, but every time I hear a WCC, I think of that.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
those days.
I just thought I'd mention that because I know that you've mentioned the World Council of Churches to me before in that context. So I just want to throw that out and get your opinion.
Well, you know, speaking of things like that, things where the government comes in and well, frankly, psyops that we're hearing. I wrote a little opinion piece. I don't often do that, but mm-hmm. I decided that I'm going to write one today because there have been a few stories out lately. One, I think did we talk about this on the air, the one about the woman with the X-lax and the cookies?
Yes, I think we did.
Well, there was that story. She did it as revenge because she was helping two girls because one of them had gotten a poor grade. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it was her daughter or her daughter's friend, but she was helping these two. She went to jail for it. Just about a week ago, there was a story out of Texas about a young man from one high school delivering muffins to another high school, and he left these muffins for the teachers in the teacher's lounge.
Uh-huh.
They were laced with THC, which is the active alkaloid from marijuana.
In other words, these were hash brownies.
Sort of,
in muffin form.
Except they were very concentrated. He had actually somehow, you can buy THC.
Huh.
He had actually put in that ingredient in the muffins rather than just marijuana. And it made them ill. And depending on what the, you know, the conditions, the health conditions, it could have been very, very serious for some of those teachers. So the question is, A, why did somebody like that do that? But more than that, and this is what I get into, we're hearing about breaches of security at schools. Seemingly unconnected events. And, of course, add to this the school shootings, which I didn't even address.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about seemingly innocuous things. This sort of stuff where, oh, my gosh, you know, if this had happened at our daughter's school when she was in grade school particularly,
mm-hmm.
frankly, I would have been very concerned.
Sure.
And you have to ask yourself, how much will the parents of America take before they demand that their representatives in Washington enact some kind of law requiring that there be better security at these schools?
That's right. And security measures that would no doubt require RFID implants. We need to know who's going in through the doors and who's not.
That's right.
If you don't have the right
kind of... I like chips in my cookies. I don't want them in my arm.
Yeah. If you don't have the right kind of electromagnetic signature coming through the door, then you are tackled mm-hmm. by security, and that is probably what's coming.
Yeah.
In fact, we've already seen Japan. There are some schools in Japan that have already begun this type of program.
I have to say that it's very disturbing. There are schools. Excuse me. I used to deliver singing telegrams for a living.
mm-hmm.
If you didn't know that, if you haven't heard me say that before, yes, I did. And I could get in anywhere
mm-hmm.
in a costume with balloons. I got into the governor's mansion over and over again.
In Nebraska?
In Nebraska. I got in anywhere, any school, any place.
That is very interesting.
The one place I had a tough time was they decided to card me because I was dressed as a penguin. They wanted to make sure I was 21 because I was delivering to someone inside of a bar. But it's remarkable. If you have the right setup, mm-hmm. even today, you could get into anywhere. You know what? I could take balloons in, and you know what? I could put in those balloons? Gaseous things
sure.
that are dangerous.
Sure.
All you have to do is coat the inside of the balloon and then fill them with helium.
There's your writer's brain going again.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm not planning anything.
Well, yes. Just.
But I'm just saying because I do write for a living. Well, I write. I don't make a living out of it. I live and I write. But because I do have an imagination, I can figure those things out. Well, you know what? I've always said, if I can think of it, somebody else has thought of it too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, let's put on the tinfoil hats here. The Bilderberg Group meeting for this year has been found out. They will be meeting a few miles from Ottawa, Canada, June 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. Jim Tucker, who writes for the American Free Press, has been tracking the Bilderberg Group for years. And once again, his sources have come through. They'll be staying at the Brook Street Resort outside Ottawa. And
we didn't get an invitation again.
Yeah, that's the 45th straight year for me. And they apparently will be discussing the same sorts of things that we talk about here. High oil prices, whether or not we should invade Iran, whether or not we should invade Venezuela, that sort of thing. 120 international leaders in finance and politics. If you're not familiar with the Bilderberg Group, just think of it as a who's who, an A-list of the movers and shakers of white Anglo-Saxon, Europeans.
Yes, exactly.
It's by Anglo-Saxon Europeans. I guess I'm repeating myself, but anyway, it's Europeans. And North Americans, essentially. There are a few Asians, a couple South Americans who are basically of European descent anyway, mm-hmm. and one or two Africans. But for the most part, it's a representative group of the most influential people in the white world.
And very much it's people who are connected in some way to the old bloodlines of royalty.
Yes. The group was started some years back by the Royal House of Holland, and Queen Beatrix is still one of the she's an annual attendee, as is King Juan Carlos of Spain. Mm-hmm. They will often invite one or two up-and-coming politicians from the United States who then make a big splash on the world political stage. Bill Clinton was invited to the Bilderberg Group just prior to his rise from obscurity. Mm-hmm. Tony Blair was invited just before he became Prime Minister of the UK. Doesn't always work. John Kerry was an attendee a few years back. John Edwards mm-hmm. was in attendance last, just prior to the 2004 election.
Right.
And apparently did a great job. You know who else was in attendance there? Ralph Reed, the former leader
That's right.
of the Christian Coalition, who is now running for lieutenant governor in Georgia.
That's right.
And has been tied to Jack Abramoff, taking lots and lots of money from Abramoff and his connections.
The 6 degrees of Abramoff.
Right. There's a good website, Bilderberg.org, and I'll put a link to that in the website. Basically, Tony Gosling, who runs that website, has everything you need to know about the Bilderberg Group. They basically get together, try to meet in secret, and just kick around the script for the upcoming year.
Hmm. Well, a couple of stories that have to do with your money.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is that, and this is disgusting, apparently the dollar improved on news of the bird flu scare over in Indonesia.
That makes a lot of sense.
Well, I don't know. According to this, the dollar is sort of a backup preferred currency in difficult times.
Well, it is sort of universally accepted, even though...
But that won't happen for long.
That may be changing.
The other story has to do with your money is the Russian oil bourse. They're going to be trading oil and oil products and gold. And they're starting
gold.
On June 8th.
Yeah. Very interesting there. The reason that the dollar has been so strong for so long, in spite of our high current accounts deficits, our high foreign trade deficits, basically because the two exchanges, mercantile exchanges, where you can trade for petroleum products, which everyone in the world needs, New York and London, require that oil be denominated in United States dollars. So every nation in the world that buys petroleum, which is all of them mm-hmm. pretty much, have to hang on to dollars in order to buy oil. Well, Russia is going to change all that on the 8th of June. Iran is set to open its oil bourse and will denominate oil in euros. Mm-hmm. In fact, Norway has been talking about opening its oil bourse because they're saying, hey, we're pulling all this oil out of the North Sea and we're selling most of it to other European countries. Why are we selling this in dollars? We're converting from euros to dollars back to euros. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
So the net effect is that people will begin dumping dollars. They're not going to need to hold many dollars.
I think you're absolutely right. And here's where it comes down to you, the listener. Here's what you can do about it. You can't write in and say, please don't, you know, devaluate mm-hmm. the dollar. You can go get more for your dollar today.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and buy your water supplies. Go out and buy, you know, some protein for your, you know, dried goods or canned protein, canned chicken. Sam's Club is a great place to go and buy in bulk. Go buy some, you know, dried beans, 25 pounds of that. Go stock up at a time when you're going to get some good return or probably the best return you're going to get possibly for the rest of your life
mm-hmm.
today. Go yep. get it today because if you need it in 2 weeks and the dollar is weaker, those groceries are going to be a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm. The only good thing about this is now that we converted our mortgages over to fixed rate from adjustable rates, if the dollar devalues and we're paying the same per month, we're paying back in dollars that are worth less. Yes!
I love worth less dollars.
In your face!
So take that. You're not getting nearly as much, you
That's
weasel.
Right.
Our mortgage lenders are listening to the show at some point and they're like, weasels?
Let's call that loan.
Yeah. Oh, rats.
WorldNet Daily has a story today that says that Osama bin Laden's biographer contends that nuclear weapons have already been smuggled across the border from Mexico into the United States and that a major nuclear attack is being planned for a U.S. city.
Yeah, we've heard this story over right. and over again. And frankly, I think it's one, and this is why, as we've said, we don't often post stories from the WorldNet Daily because we do think that they tend to hyperbolate sometimes. However, there's always a grain of truth in what they're talking about, or almost mm-hmm. always. And this American Hiroshima story has been there over and over and over again, and it just feels predictive to me.
Yes. The point being, as we've said before with other stories, is that it's not the information so much that is out there, but it's the fact that the information is out there, if you understand the difference there.
Right.
The story is not the information in the story, it's the story itself. Mm-hmm. We're being told, expect a nuke, expect mm-hmm. a nuke, expect a nuke. And by the way, Osama's to blame.
Mm-hmm. Well, we like Joseph Farah. Let's just say, to be fair, mm-hmm. let's just say we do like Joseph Farah. He is an excellent journalist.
Right.
We probably are not reading the news with the same viewpoint as Joe Farah. We tend to be a little more cynical of what we're being told by the government. Mm-hmm. We're a little more careful, very judicious, and discerning. Now, I'm not saying he isn't, but again, we're coming from a different viewpoint. So he's looking at this, and I honestly think he's putting this story out there because he believes that it's something the American people should know.
Right.
We look at that story. We're grateful to him for that story. We look at it, at least I do, and I think, why are we being told this over and over again? Because if this does happen, and please, Lord, we pray it doesn't. But if this were to happen on American soil, all of these stories aren't out there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, look, we knew this way back when.
Yeah, we were told this was coming, and now, boys, let's go get them.
Exactly. Clearly, Al-Qaeda is responsible for
uh-huh.
this.
Now, let's tie this together with the information that Tom Horn passed along about a very tense time, Christmas week of 2005,
mm-hmm.
in which a lot of law enforcement and military were involved in a frantic search along the Mexican border in Arizona to try to find something that was being smuggled through a tunnel,
mm-hmm.
something that was codenamed Big Bird and Little Birds. Tom says his sources told him that they were found, but they may be unveiled at such a time as to implicate Al-Qaeda and possibly Iran.
If this sounds hideous, if it sounds implausible, remember that we are dealing with people who are in politics, some people who are in politics to gain power.
Mm-hmm.
There is a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes, behind the news headlines, and the spiritual entities involved have no compunction whatsoever
mm-hmm.
about taking out human beings, and they don't care who does it for them.
Right. Let's remember, when we think about whether or not something like this is plausible, that going back 110 years to the explosion of the Maine in Havana Harbor, which forensic evidence indicates was probably just an explosion of coal dust.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was blamed on Spain. A lot of people died, Spanish soldiers, Cubans, Filipinos, and American soldiers, so that the United States could expand its empire.
Mm-hmm. You don't even have to go back that far.
Oh, no. I'm just saying.
No, you're warming up.
I'm just saying, going back to the good old days, you know, back
oh,
in
yes.
days when we thought, you know, things
when
were still.
When we thought politicians were good.
Honest and true, yeah. I mean, you know, FDR not only knew that the Japanese were coming to Pearl Harbor, he provoked the Japanese into an attack.
Mm-hmm. That's not our opinion. That's now historical.
That is historical fact. In fact, it was even known at the time. There were military inquisitions in the 1940s. That 1944-45 that pretty well decided that Washington knew that this was coming. Look at the Operation Northwoods documents that have been released under Freedom of Information Act, mm-hmm. where the Joint Chiefs of Staff planned on shooting down an American passenger plane and blaming it on Cuba to justify going to war against Cuba. So it's not outside the realm of possibility. We've got historic examples. So we just throw that information out there, consider it, and just keep your eyes and ears open.
Now, we, again, are probably going to disagree with other people who are in similar, you know, business as we. Not that we consider ourselves in a business. We really don't. But other people who do podcasts or who do radio broadcasts who are, you know, on the same side, I think, as we in most cases. We may not agree on everything with regard to the government because, frankly, I think there are some good men and women in government.
Absolutely.
And I know that there are those who do the same kind of thing we do who would say, no, not one of them is good. Good as far as God is concerned, no, there's none righteous, no, not one.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as wanting to do the right thing, I think that there are a lot of men and women who get into politics for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
They hate it just like we do. And they go into it with the intent of trying very hard to change the system. But you know what? The system is so rotten. It's that old adage,
mm-hmm.
one rotten apple spoils the barrel.
Yeah. And it is difficult when you're surrounded by a bunch of rot to try to find the good and do something good. One more quick story here. Mentioned Tom Horn. I want to point out a story from Monday of this week that we didn't really have time to work in the last couple of nights. He is... got a chance to sit down with Colonel Jesse Marcel Jr. And if his name sounds familiar, that's because Jesse's father, Jesse Sr., was one of the principal characters in the story that unfolded around the 4th of July, 1947 at Roswell, New Mexico. Colonel Marcel has put out a new book. He's got a new book called Roswell, It Really Happened, which describes the events of that day and includes some new information. And when Tom had a chance to sit down with Colonel Marcel, the colonel told him a very interesting story that happened several years ago, and I'll just try to summarize it quickly here. He met a gentleman in Washington, D.C., who did not want his name released. So we'll call him Mr. X because it sounds cool. Mr. X met him at a room the following day inside the Capitol building, a room that was deemed to be secure. And this gentleman, Mr. X, told Colonel Marcel Jr. that... he knew for a fact that the incidents that took place at Roswell were not fiction. Colonel Marcel.
Way, honey, I think it's Dr. Colonel Marcel's the dad.
He is a doctor. Jesse Marcel Jr. is a doctor, but he's also colonel. Military. He's colonel.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Colonel Dr. Marcel.
Yes.
Anyway, it got down to this one question where Colonel Marcel said to Mr. X, if extraterrestrial is real, extraterrestrial activity is real, and you guys know it, when is the government planning official disclosure of what really happened at Roswell? If it was up to me, X said, we would be doing it now. So Tom asked Colonel Marcel if he personally knew of other members of the government and military who are anticipating a future moment when the representatives of the world's religions and leaders of nations will stand up in the United Nations and make an official pronouncement. And according to Tom, Marcel grew silent for a moment and then whispered, yes. And then the phone rang. Colonel Marcel had to leave the building on another call. And, of course, Tom is excellent at leaving people wanting more. So we'll put a link to the story at Raiders News Update. And Tom will have more information about that meeting with Colonel Marcel. But something happened at Roswell in 1947. It was real. And exactly what about it was real, we don't yet know. But apparently the day when that will be revealed is coming close.
Well, you know what, along that line, we are getting very close to the end of days, and we have played parts one and two of a fabulous interview, very insightful interview that we conducted with David Duncan a week or so ago, and we have part three for you tonight. So, folks, here we go, the very last part of the interview with Dave Duncan.
We left off yesterday considering the question of Israel, the matter of Israel, as it were. What happens to those who curse Israel? What happens to those who bless Israel? And how might this be used to deceive people, especially Christians, as we approach the coming end of days? Dave, you raised the possibility that scalar technology makes it possible now for natural disasters to be created, fabricated.
That's certainly possible here. You know, we took a look at what the United States did in the brutal wrenching of the Jews of Gaza out of their homes by the Masonic occultic government of Israel at the behest of the Masonic occultic government of the United States, which is at the behest of the Masonic occultic government of the Vatican. And what follows, bingo, we get Katrina, Scalar Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know, what this looks like to me is a button to push, the God button.
Mm-hmm.
If you Gentiles don't let Israel, in quote marks, have its way, God is going to get you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we all know what God has said in the Bible, and that is that Jerusalem will become a cup of trembling, that it will cause the nations to agonize in fear. Well, what if the next demonstration of so-called God's revenge is a massive earthquake? What if the nations of the world start to get to the drift of this thing and get a real case of heartburn over Jerusalem being taken from the Jews. So do we not have here a God button to push?
Let me just say this. If these Illuminists are trying to fake a tribulation, then they're going to have earthquakes.
Sure.
And Jesus tells us that the birth pangs leading up to the true tribulation are all these things, except they're going to be even worse when God really does come in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I would say look for earthquakes. And, in fact, that's something that I think they can create as well.
And, Sherry, you mentioned this a few minutes ago, you know, Genesis 12:3, which says, "And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee." So since God's word cannot change, it would seem that Satan has us over a barrel. And this certainly could be used to exploit us.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is using scalar weapons to force the issue of the Jewish question, I really don't care who it is. You know, quite frankly, it doesn't matter. Because God's will is going to be accomplished even if he is using Satan to do it. And I think we have a history of God doing that, of using Satan to accomplish his will. So it's about time that the world be brought to task over the Jewish question. That's kind of what the Bible's all about.
Yeah, exactly. It lays out the scope of history. I mean, that sort of defines world history, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, one of the most impressive programs that I've heard from you guys on PID in the last so many months was the interview with Barry Chamish, the one in which he stated that the obvious goal is to create a Middle Eastern superstate. And boy, that really interested me when he said that.
We need to have him back because it was cut short. Because
you do.
We definitely need to get him back.
He was just recovering from his stroke at that point, and he was so kind to come on.
Yeah, he was. And I was really thankful to hear what he had to say there. You know, recently we've seen all of the cops on horseback brutalizing settlers in the West Bank, throwing them out of their homes. Mm-hmm. So who are these people, this government of Israel, who lend their authority to the cops on horseback? They will be the ones to be in power over the entire Middle East. You know, Peres, in his slavish devotion to the papacy, epitomizes this power group that's running Israel. And it is satanic and it is Masonic. And what... what do you call this? It's Babylon. It's what the Bible told us in advance would happen. The superstate, the Middle Eastern superstate of Babylon. You know, what was the war in the Balkans fought over? Or what about the war in Afghanistan or in Iraq? You know, all of these are part of the same end game, and that end game is to establish the superstate of Babylon of Chaldea. And a year or two ago, there was an article published, I remember, that stated that the British Crown, representing the highest reaches of world Freemasonry, and representatives of the United States' own CFRR, met with King Abdullah Hussein of Jordan, and an agreement was hammered out whereby Hussein would be given the throne of Iraq, read Babylon, if you will. I didn't save the article, and so it's, you know, much to my unhappiness that I haven't been able to locate the article. But
you have to dig that up. But
I'd love to.
It's very timely that today being, for those listening, May 14th, Sunday,
as we
record this, Tom Horn at Raiders News Update has just published an article from the New York Times detailing the plans of Iraq and the United Nations to restore Babylon.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. Now the present King Abdullah Hussein is a direct descendant of Muhammad, and he's British educated, and he's totally Masonic. And his uncle might have been the one to receive the throne, except for a last-minute switch by King Hussein the Elder. Just prior to his death in 1999, he switched from his brother to his son, Abdullah, to give the kingdom to. But Abdullah's uncle, the king's brother, is the president of the Club of Rome, and he's also very active in the CFR. So in my mind, I've been confused. I'm wondering just exactly which of the Husseins, the present king, or his uncle, who's been slated for the throne of Jordan. One of them is
expecting...
That's
a really good question. When, who was the previous king? when he died,
King Hussein.
There was a big brouhaha for months.
Oh yeah.
Over who was going to be the successor, the uncle or the son?
Yeah. Right, and so I think those two issues are still up in the air, and so personally I'm not exactly certain who is going to be given the throne of Babylon, the super state. But I can say this nation is going to cover a lot of territory, the entire Middle East, and this will be the new caliphate. My guess is that it would be his Abdullah the son. I'm guessing that it'll be him who will take over. I don't know.
Isn't Abdullah supposedly a direct descendant of Muhammad?
Yes, they are. The whole dynasty.
The whole Hashemite kingdom?
Yeah, the Hashemite kingdom. They're direct descendants of Muhammad.
Now, the Hashemite, there was a Hashemite on the throne of Iraq prior to the military coup.
And wasn't that about 1958, I think?
Yeah.
You know, this resulted in him being assassinated. And the Hashemites fleeing Iraq, and that's when...
In fact, there were three Hashemite kings. There was a king in Baghdad, there was one in Saudi Arabia, was there not? And then one in Jordan?
At
the time it was called Transjordan.
Uh-huh, and there are a lot of people in the Middle East who are leery of them. So, you know, that they should take the throne might not be received all the way around. So I think a lot of this that's been going on, you know, the war in the Balkans, Afghanistan, Iraq, and now we're looking straight into the face of a war with Iran. It would seem that all of these things are for the purpose of getting all the ducks in a row for the Hashemites to once again take the throne of the entire Middle East. It's my guess.
That's very interesting, because while we're talking, I've just located an article that was published by the Wall Street Journal, an opinion piece from October of 2003 by a gentleman named Bernard Lewis, who's a professor at Princeton and the former director of the CIA, James Woolsey, in which they propose a Hashemite solution to Iraq. And both of those guys, I would imagine, I'd have to do some checking on this, but I would imagine they'd have some pull within the CFR as well.
So, you know, how all this ties in with the King Messiah of the Kabbalists and how this all ties in with American Christianity, man, this is a difficult picture to flesh out, to try to grasp the where this thing is going. It's just so hard to see. But, you know, one thing that is amazing to me is just how large a share of American Christianity is on board with this whole plan. You know, evidence of this, there's the website www.tarshish.com, which extols Benny Hinn's vision for support of Israel by Christians. And Pat Robertson is a big part of the whole thing. And now John Hagee tells us it's okay for Jews to not accept Jesus, not necessary for their salvation. So it appears the Illuminist plan for Christianity to support the Antichrist is at full throttle. And it would appear that after the rapture of the body of Christ, those who will become real Christians immediately after that will be the object of scorn to death of this...
New world order.
New breed of Christianity
that
is acting in concert with the Antichrist. Not too many months ago, the Red and Branch Association in Israel sent out an announcement, and I'd like to read just a little bit of this, because this is just so revealing, the language that they're using about the plans that the Kabbalists have in Israel. Title of the article, Liberated Yerushalayim. In other words, Jerusalem English Language Lecture and Conference Series at the Seymour J. Abrams Orthodox Union Jerusalem World Center on Hayashad Street, Liberated Jerusalem, God's Capital City, located in the liberated Israelite tribal territories of Judah and Benjamin, Kingdom of David and Solomon, United Israelite Kingdom of Judah and Joseph. And they quote Amos 9:11, on that day, I, the Lord God of Israel, will raise up the sukkah, in other words, the tabernacle of David that has fallen. And they go on to say, may the shoot of King Messiah, soon to spring forth from the stock of Jesse, in the end of days, raise aloft the scepter of Judah and reclaim the thrones of justice of the dynasty of the royal house of David, restore the Davidic monarchy, regather the lost 10 tribes, and reunite them with the 2 tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and rally the armies of the 12 tribes of Israel in the name of the Lord God, the shield of Abraham, to total victory when God annihilates his enemies in the final wars of Gog and Magog, re-educate the survivors of the nations gathered against Jerusalem, and it continues on and on about, you know, the rebuilding of the Temple of Solomon and the Sanhedrin, the priesthood of the schools of the prophets sanctified by the Shekinah, divine presence of God. And, you know, I tell you, if I were to allow myself to get caught up in the swell of emotions that these words evoke, and if I should forget that this is not the kingdom of heaven that Jesus was talking about, well, these words sound pretty exciting. But without Jesus, this is all a lie. And a lot of dominionists, or call them Christian Zionists, if you will, I don't care what you call them, but a lot of contemporary so-called Christianity is on board with this plan.
Yeah, you're right. And this is something that we've been trying to track and discern. You know, we did that three-part series with Tom Horn a couple of months back about dominionism and this whole idea that we're dealing with a political solution here as opposed to a spiritual kingdom. It's like the response or the question that came from the assembled 500 with Jesus in Galilee 40 days after the resurrection, you know, recorded in the first chapter of the book of Acts, where they said, now, are you going to restore the kingdom to Jerusalem now? Even after his resurrection, they still didn't get it. And here we are 2,000 years later, and there's still a significant portion of the body of Christ, or nominal body of Christ, that still doesn't get it. It's not a physical kingdom.
Well, you know, this lack of understanding is going to be exploited.
And it will, yes.
Well, it will be a physical kingdom during the millennium.
During the millennial reign, right.
Yeah.
But it is not for us to try to establish the kingdom now.
No.
But you can understand, as you point out, Dave, very perceptively, that if we get caught up in the emotion of it, you know, thinking that somehow we're doing a good work for God by supporting this kind of political activity now, we are in danger of having that desire manipulated and twisted into serving the Antichrist and winding up on the wrong side.
Well, you know, if they do bring out the real Ark of the Covenant, I tell you, that would just be a heart-wrenching thing to see. I mean, that would be so persuasive. Actually happen, and but you know, the Ark has been superseded. We have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right.
The Ark is no longer relevant.
The
real kingdom of heaven.
The veil was rent in two.
It was rent in two.
From the top down.
And that was it. And ever since then, we have access to the Holy of Holies.
But I'll tell you, and that really does, when you look at all the pieces that are put together, and again, it's easy to look at this topic and what we've discussed here over the last couple of programs and say, well, you know, this is all well and good, but, you know, this is a bunch of conspiracy theorizing. But you realize that there are a lot of forces at work in the world today that have led to the point that we're at now, the reconstitution of the Sanhedrin, the establishment of this Noahide Council to try to establish a law for Gentiles under which, you know, to place us.
The red heifer.
The red heifer.
Yeah.
The red heifer and the discovery of the, there's some sort of sea creature which is necessary to make this special
purple dye.
Yeah.
The snail.
Yeah.
The in the eastern Mediterranean, the snail.
They just rediscovered that. And so the pieces are falling into place to begin the sacrifices.
That's
once
right.
again.
Control now exercised over the biblical lands controlled at one point by Nimrod of the Bible, which may be extended upon our eventual military action against Iran. But certainly we've got control now over the biblical land of Nimrod as far as Babylon, the ancient temple of Eridu, which was the probable site of the Tower of Babel, and indications that there are certain rituals that have been performed on the site of ancient Babylon.
We talked with Tom Horn about that. Did you hear that that show, Dave?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And
it sure looks like we're up to some interesting things, the United States, there in the in Iraq.
Yes, or certain elements within the United States anyway. Again, pan-national, transnational organization that is trying to bring these things to pass. There are a lot of things that constitute the dots of this picture that we're trying to connect. And we don't see the whole picture, but I think... would you say, Dave, that that it is possible to get a full, clear picture of where we're at and where we're going, or that it's that there's a danger in trying to read too much into the dots that we can connect?
Well, I guess the thing that's most confusing to me right now is whether the Antichrist is going to spearhead a largely Muslim world domination, or whether or not the Jewish King Messiah is going to be more how it comes about, and those are some tough questions, you know. And I think the best light that we have on that issue is where Jesus says, you know, I came in my name and you did not accept me, but he will come in his own name, and you know, that almost certainly seems to refer to a King Messiah concept, but that doesn't completely close the issue, because like we were saying, Hussein, Abdullah Hussein, is a very Masonic, British educated, and you know that he is just completely on board with the Masonic world government. And so it's hard to see how this will all shake out.
Hey, this is a little left turn, but it's something I just thought of. I meant to mention earlier, and I forgot. The Lubavitchers?
Yeah.
You know, the town of Lubavitch that they're named after. You know what that word means?
In Russia?
City of brotherly love.
Brotherly love, yeah, that's right.
Same thing that Philadelphia means.
Philadelphia.
Isn't that interesting? Because it's the Church of Philadelphia, if you look at the letters as being a timeline, Philadelphia and Laodicea are often considered the two churches in the end of the age. And I just thought, how odd that they would name themselves after that.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? You know, I just, in my heart, I am just extremely rooting for the Jewish people that they're going to get the drift of this thing. I just want to see that happen so bad. And
the Bible tells us that. He says that there is going to be a believing remnant.
They're going to get the idea.
At least a
remnant of them.
But however it plays out, it's certainly rough times ahead. And as we've talked about with a number of our guests during this prophetic series, the only real security you have is through accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All of the gold, silver, ammunition, and freeze-dried food that you can stockpile.
And toilet paper.
Yeah. It may serve you well for a time, but ultimately there's only one security that won't fail you, and that is Jesus Christ.
Well, that's true, and it doesn't really matter. Prophecy aside, none of us is promised tomorrow. Today is the accepted time of salvation, and all you have to do is trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You just accept what he did on the cross, and then he lives again, and you will be saved. We're promised that in the book of Romans.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Dave, we have to commend you for taking Jesus literally at his word when he said that we're to not only love our neighbors as ourselves, but to love the Lord your God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And to that end, you certainly have applied yours in an amazing fashion through your websites, the New World Order scam and the 2012 scam. Really fresh looks at the way the timeline of prophecy is unrolling in front of us, and some of the dangers, the traps that are being set for us by those in the world physically and those in the world spiritually in the supernatural realm that would like to deceive as many as possible. And in fact, I'm convinced that that's why the Bible says would deceive even the elect if that were possible.
It's that "if that were possible" part that is very comforting to me.
Right. We have to exercise discernment, but as long as we trust in the Holy Spirit for guidance and discernment, we'll wind up on the right side of things. And
well, that implies that it's pretty close to possible.
It is pretty close to possible.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's
well, it's easy to make a life study of this, and thankfully God has given us the minds to try to employ them as best we can. And
well, you know the old saying, if you want to know a counterfeit dollar bill, study the real thing.
The real thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave Duncan, we'll put links to the websites, the New World Order scam and the year 2012 scam, in the show notes at PIDradio.com. Brother, you know, you're always in our prayers, and we sure appreciate your time and talking with us today on PID Radio.
Well, I sure appreciate the opportunity to talk with you about these things.
God bless you, Dave. We'll have you on again very, very soon. We're doing a Genesis 6 thing this fall. You want to come and talk to us about that?
Oh, that'd be fun.
You can find Dave Duncan's webpage devoted to the year 2012 scam at his website, which is thenewworldorderscam.com, and we'll put links to that, both pages, in fact, at the show notes, which you will find at PIDradio.com.
Well, Dave, week continues with David Flynn tomorrow night. Parts 1 and 2 will be on Thursday and Friday, so you don't want to miss that. And we'll be interviewing Captain Eric May on Sunday for a Memorial Day special. And Peter Goodgame is going to be coming up on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week.
Yes, some very interesting discussions coming up over the next week and a half. And we always appreciate your time spent in listening. We appreciate your feedback, your comments, and questions. And you can address those by email, assuming you're not writing to us from AOL.
If you are, please get another reply to address, because I seriously want to, you know, it bothers me when I know you may be sitting there waiting for a reply and I can't get it to you.
That's right. But you can send it to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can join us at the forum, peeringintodarkness.com/forum. And you know what? If you can't get a reply from me, you can always post something there. Will you never write? Poor AOL people. Oh, AOL need PID.
That's right. I need to thank John Wilkerson, who does the Jesus Geek podcast, which is a great podcast to look at technology from a Christian's perspective. And just out of the blue, he sent me an email last week and said, here, listen to this and see what you think. And it was an MP3 file, so I gave it a listen. And lo and behold, it was a dramatic reading of the first couple of chapters of my novel, Iron Dragons.
It's really good, too.
And so he's posted an excerpt from that to his podcast in his most recent episode. And you'll find that at jesusgeek.gmpodcasting.com. I'll put a link to that so you don't have to write it down real fast or anything. But give it a listen. He's got a dramatic reading in there. And I understand, I've not listened to all of it, so I didn't hear what he did for the dragon's voice, which is sort of like a slithery hiss. I haven't listened to it, so I can't even describe it. But it's really weird, because until I heard John reading it, these words had only been rattling around inside my own head. And so hearing these words come back with someone else's voice is really
it's very
weird feeling.
I know it is. It is. It is. You know what? You do a great job. So you can always purchase a copy of that. But if you want to just have a PDF to review for your own blog, you can always let us know. Send a note to Derek at peeringintodarkness.com and put in the subject line, Iron Dragon.
Yes, I'll send out a review copy. And all we ask of you is that you post a review to your blog.
You don't even have to like it, but I think you will.
Well, that's right. We want an honest review. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Gonna step up to the microphone.